Breakfast puppies, dinner puppies, lunch puppies. Ain't no thing. I'll dust all them puppies because I'm Jebediah. I'm the farmer over here. I got all your dusting puppy needs.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Jacob. What have I been drinking?
What have you been drinking?
Yes. Yeah.
You have been drinking a beautiful, beautiful blackberry wine.
Ooh, this is from Honeywood. It's Oregon blackberry wine. Rich, fresh, and true to the fruit. What is true to the fruit?
It's invasive.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're Oregon blackberries and not Himalayan blackberries.
Even Marion Barry is from Washington, D.C. Come on, guys.
So,
ha 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 ha! I get that reference.
I could actually speak like a little crack. Bit to that when you when a fruit
and
wine.
Corruption.
Sorry, we're talking about the Marion Barry wine.
No, blackberry.
Blackberry, Marion Barry, apple, dandelion, whatever. If you're talking about a fruit wine and they say true to the fruit, what they are trying to imply is that they add minimal sugar and let the fruit flavors come through. Hmm. That was what it meant at like before about 1890.
Oh, I don't think this is that old.
No, it's not. But
I thought you loved us.
Whatever gave you that idea?
So less added sugars to the fruit.
Well, I mean, theoretically, you don't add extra sugar to boost the sweetness after you do your primary fermentation, let the brick settle out and cask it and all that. The fact of the matter is that is not a legally protected phrase and is absolutely meaningless. But at one time it did matter. It
kind of like someone saying they have the best gyro in town.
That's right, totally exactly. True. It's quantifiable, baby.
Quantifiable. I don't really understand how you could possibly have the best gyro, because ultimately a gyro is just pita, meat, maybe some feta and some tomatoes.
You don't like the sauce?
Oh, we just lost Grease.
I mean, I get it.
Nope.
There's not much variation you could do there.
I've tasted bad gyros. I can say that much.
I think we've all had bad gyros before.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Brexit.
Oh. Speaking of things that aren't leaving the European Union, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. I am in PC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
This is Linsel, but wait, Tinsel. I can't even fucking A.
That's
Linsel,
everybody.
That's Linsel, but Linsel, whatever. And, I don't even know what I'm called.
And coming back finally from Japan,
Poppy Beaujolais.
Welcome back, Poppy.
And
dear listener, you're going to be joining us today for a very special character jam.
Woo!
This time we're doing one of my favorite role-playing games. It is an OSR old school style game called Beyond the Wall and Other Adventures.
NPC, I just got
to
I got to ask. Are you going to make us cry this time?
When have I made you cry?
Maybe the question is going to be, is my character going to be made out of meat this time or some kind of crystallines?
Could be meat involved, this is definitely much more low-key.
Okay, good.
Night
what about Bane? Crystallized meat?
That sounds delicious.
That sounds tasty.
Salt-cured meat?
Yeah, all right.
Jerky. That's your new nickname. Whatever your character is, your nickname is Jerky.
My character loves jerky.
Well, Beyond the Wall is an old school role-playing game. It's modern, but it's styled after old school D&D. You know, if you're familiar with old school D&D, you got the six stats, you got saving throws, you got, you know, warriors, mages, and rogues, and so on. But Beyond the Wall is very, it's kind of down to earth. There is a
very earthy
fantasy to it, but not a high fantasy. Every home needs its heroes. Your small village seems like a haven to you and your friends, but it is not safe. Dangerous fairies lurk in the forest just outside of town. Wicked men and ferocious monsters are a constant threat. And sometimes, dark forces find their way into your neighbor's hearts. You and your companions are young and untested, but ready to protect what matters. Beyond the Wall is a kit to make a gang of childhood friends and send them off on their first big adventure, just like in the novels we love growing up, inspired by the works of Ursula K. Le Guin, Susan Cooper, and Lloyd Alexander. It is built for pick-up and play approach. You can sit down, you can take these playbooks. The GM has their own playbook where they're actually fleshing out the scenario as you make your characters.
Neat.
And so you can run it in one night.
So we're playing Stand By Me.
But fantasy version.
So, yeah, obviously.
No, that is a apt comparison.
Okay.
But cool. If you've ever seen Disney's Black Cauldron or read any of the Chronicles of Prydain books, This is heavily inspired by those.
Disney's Black Cauldron, the best Disney movie.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the several that was in the vault for a long time. Mm-hmm. When
they were not happy about it.
Yeah. No, they weren't.
I haven't seen that movie in like 35 years.
I don't know that anybody
thanks Tim Burton.
Barely remember.
Biker's Dice and Bars movie night. The Black Cauldron.
We should do that. So when you sit down to play a game of Beyond the Wall, one thing that you do is every player picks up one of the playbooks and makes a basic decision like, I want to play this character. And then you use it to build the character through a series of life paths based on your childhood up to your current age. Beyond the Wall has dozens of playbooks. In order to save time and paper, before we started recording, we went ahead and pre-picked the playbooks so that I could go ahead and kind of make sure that we could go ahead and hit the ground running and not have to go through some of that indecision here. But I would like to read some of the names of these playbooks so that you, the listener, can understand the kind of game that this is. By default, the core playbooks are the Assistant Beast Keeper, the Devout Acolyte, the Fae Foundling, the Heir to a Legend, the Last of a Fallen House, a New Watchman, and a few others. These allow you to take a little bit of a background and then build out through a series of events in your life where choices were made. And those choices define your actual stats, and they give you your skills. And if you're a spellcaster, they give you your spells.
Wow.
And it's pretty cool. There is a standard default, I don't want to deal with this shit character creation where you just roll 3d6 down the line
it's and pick
a class and whatnot.
Boring.
It's
lame.
If you're going to play Beyond the Wall, there's no point in doing that, folks. Mm. This is an official decree. You're doing it wrong. So anyway, what we're going to do is make characters for this game. Now, normally the GM keeps a lot of things secret, but I'm going to go through my playbook along with them, and I'm going to state aloud what I'm doing here. So what you have is called the Hidden Cult Scenario Pack is the one that I'm going to build.
Oh, shit.
Man, I should have been a cult leader.
Well, now you've learned your lesson.
Dang it.
You also could have been a bear.
Yeah, you also could have been a bear.
You could have bared it all.
One of them is the village bear. It's a good one. I'm going to pass you guys this because this is the map. As we create the characters, we're going to build out a map of your hometown.
Maybe we should get rid of all of these pens and pencils.
Yeah, we could clear some space now that you've all...
Would you happen to have a clipboard?
I do. It's in the cabinet. That's very meticulously organized.
Right. There's several. Spread these all over the floor?
Yep.
No.
I would prefer if you didn't.
Jacob, would you take those pens and pencils back to the cabinet?
And spread them all over the floor?
This is exciting.
Thank you.
And as we create the characters, we're going to build out this map. You're each going to put locations on the map that you think are important. They could be related directly to what you roll on the tables, or they could be just something cool that you want to see. Like, I want a baseball stadium. Why? Because I do. Because I like baseball.
Because go Bears.
Because go the Bears. You could do something like that. But
the Mobile Bay Bears are a team that used to exist.
Did they not exist anymore?
No, they're now the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Wow.
I didn't even know that there was such a place as Rocket City.
Well, I'm going to Google that later, and hopefully that's true, because that sounds awesome.
Such a good mascot.
Yeah, the Trash Pandas.
It's a raccoon, like, in a trash can with a rocket ship on its back.
Well, let's go ahead and get this started here.
Sure.
So I'm going to build out what's happening in the background of the Hidden Cult while you are each creating four characters. So let's kind of go around and at least tell what playbooks that you picked. Who wishes to go first?
I'll go first. Dr. Xander over here. I am the local performer.
I guess you don't have a sense of what kind of performance you do yet.
Or of humor.
We'll figure that out. I'm playing the Halfling Vagabond playbook.
All right.
Because I don't want any initial skills. I just want to be a vagabond.
And I am playing the Reformed Bully.
I, Poppy Beaujolais, am the future warlord.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating.
A reformed bully and a future warlord.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how you guys are going to mesh.
Well, we'll see how this all works out. Right now,
I'm not a warlord yet.
Yeah, right now you're all teens. How exciting. Teens saving the world. Once again, that never happens.
Nope, never.
You're a pretty advanced team to be already a reformed bully. I mean, most teens, they might be bullies, but they're not going to have the opportunity to already reform.
He got that oppositional defiant disorder diagnosis when he was like five. So he's already been in therapy for 10 years.
He's just a Calvinist.
And thankfully, you know, I discovered Scientology I'm already up to level 4.
We're going to have to cut all of this otherwise.
Oh, God.
Also, a lot of Abilify.
Let's go ahead and start with the character creation.
Yeah.
Your backgrounds of the first pages at the top tell you some stuff that you're going to need to write down. Mm. They're going to give you your base attributes. Usually they're somewhere between 10 and 8. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and start writing those down in your character sheets if you haven't already.
What?
The Reformed Bully. You grew up picking on the weak and the outcast, but lately things have changed. You've seen the errors of your ways and have forged a strong friendship with other villagers.
Well, that sounds good.
Let's see. The local performer. You grew up obsessed with ancient stories and songs, the oral history of your people. As a child, the stories told around the hearth at the inn and by traveling minstrels seemed more real to you than your own daily struggles in the village. Now that you have come of age, as a teenager, you keep the old stories and your neighbors have come to respect your craft. You have great presence and charm. That doesn't sound like me at all. Your charisma begins at 12 and all of your other ability scores begin at 8.
Nice.
Nerd. I mean... You're a beautiful asset to the community. I'm sorry.
You were a reformed bully.
I'm working on it.
Look, the only thing in our village is an inn. So
that was a really good reframe. Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I, Poppy Beaujolais, am your future warlord. Bow before me and despair. As the eldest of your family, it has fallen to you to learn to rule, to lead men in battle, and to inspire your people. While you have only been tested once, you proved yourself well and are now ready to earn the right to take your father's place. You are strong and commanding. Your strength and charisma begin at 10, and all of your other ability scores begin at 8.
For the Halfling Vagabond, I can't quite say why, but one day I began to dream of mountains, seas, and monsters. Now I wander from town to town, never staying anywhere long. The stories of men fascinate me, and I have yet to find my fill of adventure. I have a strength of 4, baby, because I'm a halfling.
That's adorable.
That's a weird
But I do
flex,
have a dex
man.
And con of 12, so that's solid.
And everything else is 8?
8, yeah.
Yep. All right.
I tried to accidentally make my charisma 18.
Accidentally.
Accidentally.
You're using a pen. That's not a good idea.
Too bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna write. Now your charisma is permanently 18.
It's permanently 10.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I can cross shit out.
I hope you know this is going to go down in your permanent record.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to burn all your villages later anyway.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
So.
I want to create a magical item based on that. I want to call it the Sharpity of Permanent Records.
Mm.
So that whenever anything that you write in it is permanently attributed to you.
Mm.
And then the entire rest of the world remembers your failures and foibles.
Nice. Yeah.
So I have made a mistake before coming to this recording this evening.
What'd you do?
I'm wearing a dress. It's really uncomfortable.
But it looks very nice.
Go change while we do some character.
You're really dressed for radio right now.
I really need to put like some pants on. I'll be right back.
Okay.
You know, that's interesting because I need to take my pants off.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wait, can I just borrow your pants? No. You can just keep recording.
Oh my God, my pants would be ridiculous on you.
That would be so funny.
Ridiculously comfortable.
Well, who wants to go first with the first set of rolls?
I'll go.
Okay, Xander, The first one on your playbook, I believe, says, what was your childhood like?
Sure does.
Go ahead and roll a D12. So here's how these work. These are going to determine random things that happen to you and give you stat bonuses, skills, and sometimes items. They might give you spells, too. We'll see if you're a spellcaster type. But also, you have an option once and only once during your character creation. If you don't like the result of a roll, you can say no and pick another item on that table, but only once.
Just like pick exactly what I want?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
One. So what was your childhood like? Read the question next to the D12. And then,
what did your parents do in the village and what did you learn from them?
And you rolled?
I was an orphan and things were very, very hard for me.
Nice. That's going to give you a +2 wisdom, a +2 con, and a +1 int, I believe.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Marking on the board, Jerry.
Okay. Who wants to do their childhood next?
I'll do my childhood.
Okay.
So what did the old gaffer do? I guess that's my dad.
I guess so.
Gaffer?
Yes.
Gaffer's a dad. And apparently, both my mother and father baked the best bread in the land. They were bakers.
Oh, nice. What does that give you?
That gives me a bonus to con, intelligence, wisdom, charisma, and the skill of cooking.
Ooh, and a +10 against gluten intolerance.
That's right.
I love gluten.
All right, Jacob. Your first question is what? What is your parent? What did your childhood like?
What was your childhood like?
Yeah.
I rolled a 10. Your father was a watchman, stern but fair with child and stranger alike. So yes, the reformed bully, as one could expect, was the cop's kid. I get a +2 on strength, a +1 on charisma, a +1 on con, and the skill of athletics.
Very nice.
What happened?
What do you need?
Yeah.
Use your words.
Okay, and Poppy, let's go ahead and roll your first one.
All right, what was your childhood like? One. Base betrayal. Really?
Wow. Yikes.
Your family is respected but not trusted. Gain +2 wisdom, +1 intuition.
Intelligence.
+1 charisma, skill, subterfuge.
Nice.
I'm kind of surprised that baking doesn't give me the subterfuge.
Also, each of you, because of the first table, you get to individually add a location to the map. It could be based on your home. It could be someplace that you feel that you hang out. The rules say that you can take inspiration from what you have just rolled, but you don't have to.
Well, I'll put a bakery close enough to the inn to actually, serve the inn.
Is there any significance to the inn location?
It's in the center.
Generally, the inn is the center of town.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And they do it animal style there.
You and me, baby, we're nothing but mammals.
Getting horny now.
I mean, I presume a halfling is a mammal. What are you adding, Xander?
I am adding the children's puppet theater on the outskirts of town.
Amazing. So now our town has an inn, a bakery, and a children's theater.
Puppet theater.
Excuse me, puppet theater. That's a large puppet theater.
And now opening up.
There's a lot of orphans in town.
Old German.
The oldest of Germans.
And what are you adding, Jacob?
I am adding the watchman's house.
Okay. Yeah.
Which also serves as the jail.
Well, who's watching the watchman?
Chris Pine. I don't know. He's amazing eyebrows. He could do some watching.
He could do all kinds of things.
And Poppy, what are you adding to the map?
Maybe your future castle.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm a noble family.
A whole roll of steaks.
I think I'm going to add a Cabela's. To
burn people at the stake.
A hangman's noose.
Jesus, getting warmed up.
No, I'm going to add
guillotines.
Like a foundry, like where they make weapons and.
Sure.
Right? Oh, yeah, you need an armory for sure. Armory.
There's the word. I'm like a blacksmith. A fucking what's an.
Foundry is, I think.
This town has a puppet theater and an armory.
Hey, it's just getting started. That's all that was in the town when we were kids.
And lots of bread.
Lots of bread.
Well, I mean, any town having a bakery makes sense, but, you know, it's like, wow. Okay, so we're getting kind of metro. This is going to be a big town.
It is a halfling bakery, so you know it's delicious.
Yeah, but all the portions are just a little too small.
I don't know what kind of halflings you're hanging out with.
They're a little too small, but that's because they eat 7 times a day.
They're just short. They're not that small.
Have you seen those bellies?
I guess anytime you have Armory, second breakfast.
Armory RS. And it's got a funky little shape to it. It's there we go. Have a map.
Have a map.
Doesn't the GM need to roll something at this point?
Not yet. I need to build up a list first, and the list is nowhere near yet complete.
Okay.
Eventually, I will have to roll on some things to see what is working against you and who your enemies are and who is not actually an enemy, even though you think they are. So
so we are at the second question. Is that correct?
Now we're at the second question. Who wants to go first? Looks like Linsel does.
I do. It's caught me a little off guard because it's what possessed me to leave my child at home. I should have looked ahead on my sheet.
I should have used pencil.
Apparently, the thing that made me want to leave home was some human traders came to my village, and I was overwhelmed by curiosity. So I guess I went traveling, became a traveling merchant or something.
Okay.
Well, at least a traveler.
Are you a vagabond or something?
I am a vagabond.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Do you sing opera?
And that gives me a charisma and dexterity. Nice.
Nice. That's it?
Mm-hmm. Can I get another sheet? One of these?
No.
No.
You had your chance.
You live by the pen, you die by the pen.
I was confused.
You live by the pen, you die by the pen.
Whatever.
I, for the chart, how did you distinguish yourself as a child, rolled an 8. Everyone has something to teach, and you have learned a little from them all. +1 dex, +1 int, +1 wiz. Kind of weird.
Why do we have the same thing?
Some of the childhood charts are frequently similar.
Mm-hmm. But once you get past childhood and you get into your young adult area, that's when it starts to really blossom.
My young adult area.
Is it blossoming?
My young adult area is blossoming. Whoa.
Sorry, I totally missed everything that you said, Jacob. What was that?
That was just a look. That was just a look. That was...
Did you roll yours?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Oh, yeah. I got 8. Everyone has something to teach, and you learned a little from them all.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
Poppy.
How did I distinguish myself as a child? I was the toughest kid around.
There you go.
+2 constitution and +1 charisma.
Man, that sounds like a future warlord if I ever heard one.
Yeah. Or a bully.
What's the difference, really?
Yeah,
I also rolled toughest kid around.
You can keep it if you want, or you can switch it to something else.
I don't want to have the same thing as you.
Yeah, because I'm better.
You're a unique and beautiful flower.
I sure aren't.
Let me give you a little bit of a pro tip as someone who has played the system before, Xander. If you're going to blow your pick one, some of the ones later on in the game are better to save that for because they can be far more defining of you as a person.
Okay. I'll also be the second toughest kid around.
Perhaps you two were constantly like arm
beating each other up. Yeah.
I think I went to a private school. So I was the toughest kid at my school.
You know, it must be nice to have parents. This town? It must be fucking nice.
It is. They bought me a pony.
It sounds really nice.
You know what? At the end of the day, I gave you both wedgies, so shut the fuck up.
That said, you are all friends now. Keep that in mind. You all basically grew up together, except for the halfway.
You know,
Daddy will buy me new underwear. It's fine.
You know, I understand that you two have been working through this conflict since, like, you were 4, and, you know, you took turns seeing who could make each other eat sand. But can we grow past this, please?
It's not sand. It's called crystal. Get it right.
Wait, what's crystal?
Crystal, my friend.
Oh, the hot sauce.
The shit, man.
You know, all that shit we be drinking by the case.
Yeah.
So at the age of four, the hot sauce. And the orphan were wrestling in piles of crystal. Well, we know why your family's important around here.
Do we add another place to the map at this point?
Not yet.
Okay.
You will whenever there's a little icon next to it. So one of them looks like a map icon, and that's a map. One of them has a hand. Whenever you see a hand next to it, that means you get to add a person to the town.
Slap.
That person becomes an NPC of note.
Cool.
Neat. That's very cool.
Yeah. So, I think you only have one more childhood table to roll on. And then after that, we set some things down and we start your actual the young adult space.
Oh, okay.
Third roll. Linsel, looks like you've already started. What's the question?
The question is, when you left your own people You found it difficult to live with humans. However, the other characters became your fast friends. Who else in town became your friend? And apparently, it's the brewmaster who would regularly have me sample his ales. Ultimately, beer is just liquid bread. And my experience as a baker and in living among bakers was apparently useful with regard to my knowledge of beer tasting.
So now right plus 20 to gluten intolerance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and unfortunately, I cannot drink beer anymore. Now I have bonus to con and intelligence. As everybody knows, beer makes you smart.
Who's next? Looks like Jacob is.
The village elders taught you the ancient game of chess. Plus 2 intelligence, plus 1 dex.
Dexterity is a bonus for chess.
You gotta be nimble with your pieces.
The other players were your best friends. Who else near your family's estates befriended you while you were growing up?
Quick question.
Yes.
What's an estate?
It's like a really, really big piece of land. Like, you've probably never seen land that big before.
Like an
it's
orphanage?
Like bigger than
orphanages
that?
Are the best estates, really.
It's like 4 of those and like less sad people.
Oh, so if it's like 300 kids.
Xander?
There's Xander. Like 3 kids there.
Xander. Oh. It was the big place she ran back to when I pushed her down in the dog pee all those times.
Oh, the castle.
It's an estate. Anyway.
What's a castle then? I'm so confused.
Castles have like turrets?
A castle has a big bathroom on the estate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the swimming pool.
Anywho, so I rolled a 5, which says you learned the ways of the castle at the side of the cook. Plus 2 wisdom, plus 1 strength.
Okay. And Xander, what's your third question and what's your answer?
The other player characters were your best friends. Who else in the village befriended you while you were growing up? Oh, a little striking, a little too close to home today. You broke someone's heart.
Aww.
Or maybe they broke yours.
Aww.
Plus 2 charisma. Well, that's looking up for me then. Plus 1 constitution. Also looking up. All right.
Now, each of you gets to add a person to the list of people on the map.
Ooh. Presumably based on this, or it could be based on whatever.
It can be based on this. That's usually a good idea to kind of take that and turn it into somebody. But if you've got a better idea for somebody that you want to add to it.
Well, I did add a brewmaster whom I named Tony McEnroe for no real reason.
Wait a second.
Terry McEnroe was the brewer. At the time. Terry McEnroe Nelson.
I added Tana McElroy, the orphan mistress and mistress of chess.
Chess mistress. That's why your dexterity increased. It's a little sweet chess mistress.
So we have a McEnroe, a McElroy.
It's an Irish town or what? Scottish.
We need a McIntyre and a McDonald.
Done.
Oh, I'm going to fuck all this shit up.
Future warlord, Lord McElroy. McLeod.
McLeod.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, sweetie. There's going to be a Campbell in this town.
No, but close. How about a Stuart?
So who do we got next?
Have we all ruled the final part of our childhoods?
Hold on. I'm adding.
You got to add some people.
Branson Stewart.
Ooh, who's he?
He created a retirement resort.
Who is he?
Branson Stewart.
Branson Stewart is our local apothecary.
Nice. We're going to need that.
And Xander.
I am adding Tessa McAdam, and she is the hangman's beautiful daughter.
The hangman's beautiful daughter.
I think we definitely need to have some place in the center of town where people get hung.
The hangman's daughter broke your heart.
And now you're hung?
I am now literally writing an urban fantasy novel in the back of my head about your character.
You're welcome.
So obviously Branson Stewart's a foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With all the mucks.
He ain't from around here. Oh. Okay, the next question. Well, actually, I apologize. After the first question, there is a little section where it tells you to write some things down. Do that.
Mm. Okay. Do you want us to read it out?
Yeah. Read it outside.
Go outside and read it.
Goodbye.
Come back.
I took to the road and I never looked back. I became a level one rogue. I gained class abilities. Well, I guess it's not I. You gain class abilities. Oh, it's not very. It's just that I learned skills. Sweet. Yeah. I have fortune's favor and highly skilled and stealth. I guess that's what happens when you're the child of bakers.
Who's next?
Wait, I have a question.
I got an answer.
Where do I write this stuff?
Just so, what does it say?
Okay. Hey. So you trained to be a leader of men. You become a level one warrior rogue. Where do I write warrior rogue?
That's your class.
Okay. Warrior rogue. Okay. And you gain the class abilities fortune's favor, highly skilled, and knacks, as well as the skill command.
Nice.
The table below will give you all your bonus skills from your class abilities.
Yep.
So where do I write fortune's favor, et cetera?
Under class abilities.
Oh,
class
so
abilities.
That thing that says class abilities right there?
The class abilities. I mean, check your privilege and all, but your class brings you some stuff.
Xander.
You mastered your art. You become a level one rogue.
We're all level one rogues.
You gain the class abilities, fortune, favor, and highly skilled and performance skill of your choice. So it says, such as, can I choose anything that is performance-based?
What does it say?
Such as singing, storytelling, or playing an instrument.
Yeah, so this game is actually, it's a skill, it's a game with skills, but there's no skill list. You create your skills.
I'm going comedy.
Comedy? Yeah. Oh, that's a good win. Yeah,
I was really hoping you were going to go with spoons.
I can balance on a giant ball for like a really long time.
I am not class bear.
I can totally see the halfling with the spoons though.
Yeah, he's all about spoon playing
rather than rim shots, spoon slaps.
Yeah.
And Jacob, what does your say?
Well, you terrorized the other children in the village. You became a level one warrior. You gain the class abilities, weapon specialization, and knacks, and the skill intimidation.
Ooh. So you have a party.
You became angry and strong.
You have a party consisting of two rogues, a warrior.
Three rogues.
And a warrior rogue. Oh. Nice.
We all have fortune's favor. Well. Three of us have fortune's favor and highly skilled.
We will be able to beat and stab the six kinds of shite out of everything. But once we get cut, we're going to be running home to mama.
Yeah, really. Pretty much. This is great. I love it.
Go get him, bully.
Okay.
No, I'm reformed.
So now we're going to move on to question four.
All right. What have you learned about ruling, O future warlord? I rolled a six. Your father's seneschal who revealed the secrets of his craft. Oh, wait, sorry, I didn't reel. Let me start over. Cut that. Okay, what have you learned about ruling? You had many tutors when you were younger. Which was your favorite? I rolled a six. Your father's seneschal who revealed the secrets of his craft. I gained +3 wisdom and the skill of estate management.
Nice. There you go.
For my estate.
I'm sorry, what's that again?
It's like six orphanages. And
it was a really popular show on HBO for a while. Oh. Yeah. A lot of good comedians got their start there and went on to do great things.
I thought it was a digital version of that show. The Estate.
Yeah.
No. Who's rolling?
You are.
I am. Well, the question for my halfling vagabond is, what did I learn in the last turn that I last town that I passed through? And the answer to that is, I learned everyone's secrets.
Oh.
I have the skill gossip.
Yes.
Best friends.
And a bonus to charisma.
Nice.
Nice.
I'll go next. Roland 4. What stories held your attention the most? This is the one I wanted. I rolled 6. One of the old fishermen often took you on his trips and told you of the secrets the wilds hold. +2 constitution, +1 strength, skill, survival.
Nice.
Yes. Good. I'm a comedian that can survive in the crowd. Am I right? Hey.
That just means you're like one of those improv kids. Ugh.
Okay, Jacob. Question 4.
I lock eyes with Xander.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a, is that a steamy lock or a frustrated lock or a frustrated steamy lock?
Thinking all about his broken heart.
Oh, broken.
How did you become a bully? When other children were having romantic trysts.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
All you had was revenge.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, the strangest awkward lady
plus
going
two, plus two so strength.
Confused. So confused.
Plus one dex skill command.
You know, like, command. I needed your fucking bully, and I was threatened to be hung by her father.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
So the next one is the fifth question. Wait, and as you, what?
Did I?
You did.
Yes, yeah. You were the first.
Yeah, yeah, you went first.
Oh, I'm so confused.
So as you do the fifth question, think about the location you want to add to. So we can move through it a little bit quickly. Who wants to go first? That sounds like Jacob wants to go first.
I am so scared.
I am too. That was a terrible sound.
Oh, I am a horrible human being.
Yes.
And my character is as well. What kind of bully were you? So, looking back over the course of my life, raised by the town cop, taught chess by the mistress of orphans, what kind of bully was I? You set everyone else up to fail.
Oh, God. Oh. So, wow. I thought that was going to go in a different direction. You set everyone else on fire. But that's right. You're not a magician.
God, I hope I roll a six again.
Okay, Xander, you're up. What's the next question?
What gets the best applause from your audience?
Oh, death and destruction.
Come on, number six. Come on, number six.
One.
A plaintive and spellbinding song about lost innocence. You know what? I will take it.
Mm. Just don't forget, you get one free change.
Hold on.
You might want to save it toward for the last.
I will
two.
Hold that.
They're pretty however,
the last yeah. two however, are the big swings.
Yeah.
A spellbinding yeah. song of lost innocence, I think, goes well into my already heartbroken character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to keep that. That is a plus two wisdom and another performance skill.
Okay.
You know what? I think I'm just going to go and take. You know what? I'm going to take singing.
Okay.
So now I can sing my comedy.
Nice. So the question for my halfling vagabond is, I've been traveling from town to town basically my whole life. Why did I stay in this particular town for so long?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is that, strangely, I set up shop.
Oh,
exactly.
It seems so like you're bad at being a vagabond.
I think that bakery is actually mine.
Okay.
Do you bake bear claws?
Oh, yeah.
Do you even bake, bro?
Do you even break?
Okay. I take my duty very seriously. How do I
duty?
How do I plan to honor my family? I rolled a two. When your people need you, you will protect them at all costs. I got a plus three charisma and a knack of resilience.
Nice.
Mm. I don't know where I can write these knacks.
That's a class ability.
Class.
Yeah, warriors get knacks. Knacks are kind of like special fighter bonuses. Things are like feats, essentially. Yeah.
Question: what is because I just got the knack fleet, but when I rolled over and became a warrior before this, I gained knacks.
Yeah, knacks is like I have feats.
Okay.
And now I'm going to start filling those out.
Got it.
I have two feats. Doesn't everybody have two?
What's your dexterity?
Me?
Yes.
Total dexterity is 11.
11. Okay.
So no, wait. Sorry, 8.
So you don't have two left feats.
I have.
Oh, zing! Zing!
It's an 8, actually.
Oh, so you do have two left feats.
Yeah. I'm going to take a moment to tell you what some of these knacks do. Ah, here we go. Knacks are like minor feats. For example, fleet gives you plus one to initiative. Resilience. Didn't you gain resilience? Was that Poppy?
Yes, sorry.
Resilience gives you a base plus one to all saving throws.
Ooh.
Base plus and someone, one. I think, got a weapon specialist.
Sure.
I think someone got weapon specialist.
Warrior. Yes, I do.
Yeah. You gain weapon specialization with another weapon. Oh, no, you started with weapon specialization. So is what that, you got.
That's which my means, base attack bonus plus one. Sorry.
No, your base saving throw bonus.
Base saving throw.
Just write that. Just write plus one saving
throw. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Jacob.
Yes.
You as a warrior, you get weapon specialization. It is plus one to hit and plus two to damage with a favored weapon. You begin the game with this weapon for free, but we'll figure out what that is in a minute.
That was plus two to damage?
Yeah, plus one to hit, plus two to damage.
Since you're doing that, can you tell me what the Knack Fleet does?
Yeah, plus one initiative. And let's go ahead and I'll tell you your base class abilities for the rest of you as well. So rogues, I believe you also have Fortune's Favor and Highly Skilled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fortune's Favor. Rogues have luck beyond that of other men. They receive 5 fortune points instead of the normal 3. This means they will always be able to help their comrades, have more opportunities to reroll unfortunate dice, and be more likely to survive falling beneath 0 hit points.
Yes.
And next, rogues have Highly Skilled. You receive additional skills at first level and additional skills every odd level. The first level skills are factored into your tables that you're rolling on.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to pick them yourself. The tables will pick them for you. Yeah. And there are no mages. Good luck, guys.
Seems fine.
I'm less worried about the mages and more worried about the lack of acolytes.
You know what, though? It's just going to be the magic that I bring into all of your hearts by my performing skills.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. We got a bard.
Plus my delicious cream puffs.
So, worse, we got a stand-up comedian bard. Fuck me to hell.
Poppy reminded us.
Fuck me to hell.
Poppy reminded us about the map. What locations are you adding this round? Have you already decided?
Yes.
What do you got?
I went and added the gallows and the executioner's house located conveniently next to the inn because that's where all the main events take place.
I love it. Love it.
I added the old mine out at the east side of town, where they're still getting apparently iron and tin and some other metals in order to use in the armory.
Is that the old Will Ya Be Mine?
Hey-o.
And I added the Great Road. It's not just the road through town. It is the Great Road. It is a royal road. It is a road that is well-traveled and explains why the hell we have a children's puppet theater in this town.
Why else would you build a great road?
I like the idea that we call it the Great Road, but nobody else calls it that. It's just a road. We're like, no, it's the Great Road.
And Poppy, what are you adding to this?
Well, on the same side of town, but slightly south of the Children's Puppet Theater, I have added the Coliseum.
Whoa!
It may not be spelled correctly, but whatever. Fuck you.
So is that in the late Roman sense or the early Roman sense?
It's sort of a multi-purpose venue. So yes,
early Roman sense.
Yes,
there's plays there.
Mm-hmm.
There's murderins there.
Is that where you send the bad children's puppeteers?
I mean, no, it's like the adults have to have a place to do theater too.
Sure.
Yeah, and bear baiting.
Like theater in the round and like.
I like the idea that the puppetry is considered the high art here. Mm-hmm. That's what the adults do.
Yeah.
The Coliseum is where kids just go and kick the shit out of each other.
Oh, no, wait. So wait.
Wow. I
killed Jacob.
Oh, my God.
So what you're saying is that we have...
The reformed bully is struggling.
We have created the arts district.
Mm. Hooray.
I love it. Okay. I believe you have 2 more questions.
Yeah, sure do.
Oh, God, I can't get over that thought.
Which one?
The arts district?
No. Linsel's thought. Bear baiting. It's like, ooh. I like a man with a hairy chest.
Yeah, great. Oh, not that kind of bear baiting. We need to create a different inn for that.
Oh, yeah. There's a bathhouse.
Yeah. Let me put the bathhouse in the leather store.
That's right. Where's the dirty duck?
Oh, I miss the dirty duck.
We all miss the dirty duck.
What is the dirty duck?
It was like a bear bar in Old Town.
That's great. I have a great story about that I will tell you off air.
Fair enough.
Or maybe later in the show.
Maybe. All right.
Drink more, Xander.
Huzzah.
Not the last question. The second last question, right?
We are at the second to last question. Linsel, you're rolling, so it looks like you're ready to go.
Oh, I'm rolling the wrong die, but yeah.
What does it say?
It's a six. I think this may be the one that I skip out on. Let me read what six is. It says,
the question?
The question is, trouble seems to find me. What happened to me in this town? Oh, it says the player to the right was there during my troubles. I see. So I puzzled out some old runes carved in the city square, followed them to dragon's bones. Okay, you know, that sounds not like me. So I'm going to use my reroll or whatever shift and instead take, you got caught pickpocketing some pastries at the fair and had to talk your way out of it.
You're a goddamn baker.
My friend to the right gets an extra charisma.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because they were there.
Because you were there. You helped me talk my way out of it. And I also get some charisma and deceit.
So clearly the baker couldn't possibly have stolen pastries. He's a baker.
I think it's much more than it was my competitor, maybe a traveling bakery. Yeah, and I was like, I got to try some of their shit. And it was good. So I took more of it.
It was a food cart came into town.
And I talked you out of it because I said, this guy's a baker. Why would he want your shit? Your shit's garbage.
Right.
His stuff's better. So Fuck off.
I got a note that I have run a Warhammer fantasy roleplay adventure, a campaign that started as people fighting cultists and turned into rough and tumble food cart management, the campaign.
I love it.
And basically that book we all read in grade school, The Push Cart Wars, probably.
They were scared to death. They would run away from any fight except when they were defending their profit margins.
Oh, sure.
As a good capitalist should.
Damn it, Jacob, you beat me to it.
And Navita was the lawyer?
It all started because the group consisted of a dwarven mercenary, a halfling rat catcher, an elven archer, a human magician, and an elven lawyer.
Right, nice.
We're like,
it was a strange group.
So they were the adventuring party and their lawyer.
Like you do.
And I'll tell you, lawyers are broken in Warhammer.
Better call Saul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Lawyers are broken everywhere.
Oh, yeah. But if you have a party with a lawyer in it, you can just get out of anything.
In all ways.
Especially if that player is Navita. Jesus Christ. She's She could talk the bark off a tree. She's good.
Nice. All right. What other things we got going on? What are you rolling, Jacob?
Oh, boy. This doesn't make a lot of sense in a lot of ways.
Just.
Are you saying that the life of a reform bully doesn't make sense?
When you grew up, how did you reform your rotten ways?
And the player to your right was involved.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Sorry, I got one that goes, part of this goes right and part of this goes left.
Oh.
So that's the part that confused me.
The bullies, they like to affect everybody.
Okay, no, this makes a lot of sense. When you lost your family and were all alone. Everyone
get over it. I did.
Everyone else rallied around you and helped out. The friend to your right becomes your foster sibling and gains +1 wisdom. Your weapon sibling, specialization though. Class ability is with the staff. Now, here's my question. Under gain column, it says +2 wisdom, which I already took, and then specialization to the left.
Let me see.
That just means you're on my staff.
you're part of the help.
The help.
Oh, that means the specialization that you would gain is written to the left
which is staff. There we go. There we go. Yeah. All right.
Darn.
I was like, well, that's outstanding.
Who's next?
Me.
All right. What you all got? Right.
So, sorry, this is a long one.
Read the question.
When a barbarian warband came looking for plunder last winter.
What was the band's name?
Gwar.
Okay. Gwar.
When Gwar came looking for plunder last winter, it fell to me to save the land. How did you handle your first real test?
You stole their pastries.
I rolled a 5 and then maggots were falling like rain. It was weird. you Gwar reference. Hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did you say maggots or megas?
Maggots.
Megas.
Always like right now.
Mangas.
Mangoes.
No, megas.
Mangoes. Yeah.
I haven't been to a Gwar concert in a while, but I didn't remember there being a lot of tropical fruit.
Well, you see, when Gwar merged with Jimmy Buffett,
oh, it all changed. Oh my God, that's a doubleheader in hell.
Wasted away again in Margaritaville. No, Maggotritaville.
Oh, Maggotritaville.
Searching for my lost shaker of...
Giant vagina monster.
Schmaltz.
Goo. What do you got against chicken fat?
My lost container of goo.
Okay, so anyway. I rolled a 5. Yeah. It says, you led the people behind the walls of the keep and repelled the attack. The friend to your right, a reformed bully, told you that meeting them on the field was foolish and suggested the tactical retreat and gains +1 wisdom. I gain +2 wisdom and the skill socialize.
Nice.
That checks out.
All right, Xander.
There we go.
I rolled a 3. Two spies from Northern Conquerors paid for room and board. You were able
to... Two spies?
Yes. You were able to overhear their plans and alert your neighbors. The friend to your right ran from house to house to spread the word and gains +1 dexterity.
The redcoats are coming.
I helped.
I know. Good job. I get +2 dex and skill stealth.
Nice.
They'll never see my jokes coming.
Just what a performer wants is to blend into the background.
Just going to throw out a joke. Everyone's like, no? Too stealthy for you?
Huh? Oh, sorry. Huh? I didn't even know you were there.
I have yet to meet a performer in my life who did not develop the skill of skip out on a bar tab.
Yeah, right. I guess that's true.
That is my awesome skill.
You know, I am missing one skill, I realize, and that is I have to pick a trade skill of choice. And obviously, being a cooker, cooking would seem obvious, but I already have it. I already have cooking. So I'm like, what other trade skill might I have?
Meth.
Woodworking.
Meth. First, I thought you said math. And I was like, that's not the kind of trade skill I'm looking for.
Woodworking. You make all of your...
Carpentry?
Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking more woodworking because you make your own spoons, you make your own paddles, you make your own breadboards, okay, you make, sure. you know, that... That's
pretty good.
Tell you what, let's go. Let's roll the last oven. One.
Okay.
And see where things go.
I have already done mine.
And so while you're doing so, keep in mind that at this point, you're also going to get to add one more person to the list.
Hmm.
Yeah. So keep that person in mind as you do this. Mm. But Poppy's already got a roll. What's the question? What's the result?
So, well, barbarians attack. Gwar attacked.
Yes.
Said when Gwar withdrew, what did you find left on the field? And I found a small drum stitched with foreign runes. I gained +2 wisdom and a magical drum.
So do you like this result?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. +2 wisdom and a magical drum.
Well, I get to add something to the...
You get to add a person. So think about it. Just think about it. You can take that, but you don't have to say it just yet. You got a moment. Who's next?
All right. What was the best tip you ever got?
Never pet a burning dog.
Just the.
Okay. I rolled something. It's okay. I'm going to go ahead and use my get to choose whatever I want at this point.
I think you already used that.
I did not.
I did not.
Oh.
Okay. I'm the only one who did.
Oh, that's right. You kept the
metal.
I contemplated it and then I said, fuck it. I'll go with it.
What did you roll?
I rolled 3. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, read that.
A book of tales from faraway places.
Boring. Okay, what's the next one? What are you choosing?
You know what? I'm going to go, you know, just in case the audience turns on me, I'm going to go with a sword of black steel crafted by alien hands.
Dude. What?
I get +2 strength and a frightening blade.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, that came out of nowhere. Okay.
That would have fit really good in the last game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who's next? Man.
I can go. So for me, the question is, what reminds your vagabond halfling of home? And I already rolled it. The answer is sleeping in trees on warm summer nights. Apparently, that's what I used to do at home. I was big on sleeping in trees. Well, that's pretty exciting.
Okay.
I get a little bonus to dexterity and some good halfling rope.
I'm starting to wonder if halflings in this world have prehensile tails. Part halfling, part possum.
Part rope.
So, who in the village forgave you first as the redeemed bully? This was important. What I rolled was not particularly... I wasn't feeling it, so I invoked my choice. Grandmother Weaver was the first who forgave me. You saved her grandson from a raging boar, plus two wisdom, and unlike some people, all I got out of this was some very tough clothes.
Aw.
And anybody have a person that they want to add to the list?
I've added Old Smokey, the miner slash prospector.
What's Smokey's last name?
That's his name. Old Smokey.
That's not McAllister?
Old Smokey McAllister.
Done.
Oh, there's gold up in there, hills. Old Smokey.
Who else has one?
I added...
Who?
Koldar the Squeaky.
The Squeaky.
Who,
and what did I write down, who are Xander, they? That they are?
The bootlegger.
The bootlegger.
Oh, like they release LPs and other formats.
The Guar, the Secret Guar discs. No, they're making the moonshine in their basement.
I went and I wrote down Shannery O'Collins. He is the puppet master of the children's theater.
Oh, kind of a non-sinister puppet master.
You know, don't know that.
I'm kind of digging the going both ways on that one.
Yeah, you do. You would.
And I am going to go with Grandmother Weaver O'Collins.
We've already added Grandmother Weaver.
Oh, that's right. You can't double down on that. Okay, you're right. Let's see.
You want to add an assistant who helps me roll out the dough? I don't know that I'm strong enough for
it.
Oh,
no, no. That's
maybe the pressure. You get cream puffed after a few pastries.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably.
Strength.
Give me just a second.
I almost feel like my charisma ends up not being my highest score, and that's weird.
That's exactly the experience that I've had, is that my charisma is now way higher than my dex. Well, not way higher, but it is higher than my dex.
Taller McMullen, the harbor master.
Oh, wait, we have a harbor?
We have a fisherman.
That's right.
I was taught by fishermen. I forgot about that.
Sure. There's a harbor somewhere.
So we now go and add all of our pluses and put them into our...
Go ahead and add all your pluses, and then once you have your stat total, let me know what you've ended up with.
I can certainly give you my stat total.
All right, so, and once again, your character is what?
I am... I haven't named my character yet, but I am a halfling vagabond rogue. I have a strength of 4, a dexterity and constitution of 15, an intelligence of just 10, a wisdom of 12, and a charisma of 16.
Nice.
I am a charming, and I have deceit and stealth and gossip as well as skills. So that's why I was trying to think of a trade skill that I could have, which would somehow tie into my high charisma.
Let's be friends.
Okay. I kind of like the idea that my halfling maybe isn't as young as you guys, that he left town, left his home and traveled for a while, but he befriended all of you because he was of a similar size or probably a little short. Like he's like the adult halfling who hangs out with the teens.
That's kind of creepy.
It's kind of adorable and also kind of creepy at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It's that creepy. I think there's a lot of children who would totally enjoy hanging out with halflings. I think it's adorable.
Oh, totally agree. Still creepy.
What is the term for somebody who's good at figuring out how much things are worth?
Capitalist.
Appraiser.
Like, appraiser. I was thinking an estimator. Maybe that's a good trade skill, an appraiser.
There you go.
Ooh.
Okay, what you got, Xander?
So what's really funny is the initial name that I wrote down for my character before we even started doing any of this, when I just knew I was a street performer, was Drivel McLaughlin. So that somehow managed to fit in way too well with what we chose for all the other NPCs. Street performer, class rogue, strength 11, dexterity 10, constitution 15, intelligence of 9, wisdom of 12, charisma of 16.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Skills are survival and stealth. Class abilities are fortune's favor, highly skilled, comedy and singing.
Who's next?
I'll go. So your future warlord, since I am noble and a little bit of a bested.
Yeah, I feel a little weird about you having the title of future warlord.
My name is Ezekiel Bruce the Third.
Mick Bruce?
No, just Bruce.
No.
Like as in the Bruce.
The Bruce.
Ezekiel Bruce the Third.
But you are Ezekiel A. Bruce.
No, just Ezekiel Bruce.
Not the Bruce.
Not the Bruce.
Just Bruce. That's I don't your dad. Have a middle name. My dad. I have a strength of 11, a dexterity of 9, a constitution of 10, an intelligence of 9, a wisdom of 19.
Dude.
What? Holy shit.
And a charisma of 15.
What?
So stats can't go over 18. So you need to put that plus one somewhere else of your choice. I would recommend charisma. Simply because this would be the most charismatic party in the universe.
That's
I
mean, true.
Honestly, I think I want to put it intelligence.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, all just right. talk our way out of everything.
That's what you're for. Just stay pretty.
Okay.
Good boy. Sorry.
Yeah, I like the idea that you soften them up with comedy and then I ply them with baked goods.
And then I shank them.
You deal with the people who we can't convince to work for us.
You chop them up and bake them into a pie for me.
Oh my God, Sweeney Todd style.
Yes.
All right, who's the last part member of this group?
Titus, oh my God, I feel like I missed a huge opportunity to be like a Sweeney Todd style half.
God, that was your moment.
I like Jacob.
Oh, he's coming up with the name.
He looks pensive.
The reformed bully, Mac O'Tenneth, real last name.
Fair enough.
Strength of 16, dexterity of 11, constitution of 11, intelligence of 11, wisdom of 16, charisma of 7.
What
was your strength again?
16.
Oh, nice.
Okay. All right.
I can pound 5 days of crud worth out of everything, and I know when it's raining real well.
What? I could pound like 5 or 6 cinnamon rolls in one sitting.
The question is, has this character become a devout pacifist with his very tough clothes and his staff?
I can pound all of my enemies into a delicious tartare.
Pasty.
Well, now let's go ahead and look over some details on the Hidden Cult scenario pack.
Hidden?
Normally, I wouldn't say these aloud because this is something that I would keep to myself and kind of develop and turn into a story here. But whatever, doing this is a one shot for a podcast.
Yeah, what did you roll?
All right. The Hidden Cult. Your little village has become home to something unnatural and tainted. Strange events have led you to suspect the presence of dark magics, and you no longer know whom to trust. It is left to you and your friends to determine the nature of the corruption and free your neighbors from the sway of the forces of chaos.
This is Warhammer Fantasy. Oh my God.
So first, roll a D6, someone.
Ooh, me.
Looks like Poppy's got it.
5.
It has a random village name. It's only got 6 options, and it goes for something Anglo-Saxon. And it goes for Wittenham. I don't think this is a Wittenham.
No.
Ham.
What's your village's name?
I rolled the 2.
Lochstaben.
Lochstaben.
I like Lochstaben.
Lochstaben.
Lochstaben. Okay. The village of Lochstaben. Someone write that shit on the map. Lochstaben. Right at the top.
We've got a bunch of knives at the bottom of our loch. Village. It's for stabbing people.
Of is it like two
as
words?
The gen, of like course. Lock, as the gen, we got to go and stab them.
They go down in the water a lot faster the more holes are in them.
I'm going to do it. S-T-A-B-B-I-N.
Actually, that's true. You got to open up the body in order to put a couple stones in them and let them sink.
Absolutely. Otherwise, when they die, they get all gassy and bloated and they float up. They don't sink.
You got to make sure you puncture both lungs and a slit in the intestine. Otherwise, they'll float right back up to the top.
There's
no other way to make the measurement of stones work. Unless you pop them full of stones.
I don't.
The question is that how we bury people in this village? Do we commit them to the lock?
Yeah, Lock McStubbin.
You know, the game master is trying to get our standard. We're on a roll here. This is what people pay the good money to listen to the podcast for. Bad Scottish accents and drinking.
Aye. High five from across the town.
Okay. So now I get to determine the various backgrounds. So first, let's do the background of the cult. Who or what has betrayed the characters?
English.
Who wants to roll a D8?
Me. That's an 8.
So normally I would use my best discretion for this, but I'm going to do it straight up fucking random. Who or what has betrayed the cult?
If it says the redeemed bully, this
Old
is-
Smokey! Old Smokey! Oh, that was, you guys got to pull back when you whoa. you really do.
We really maxed out on that. I can hear that.
Yeah, that hurt my ears. Ooh. All right, Old Smokey has betrayed the cult. Now,
I knew it.
Say it ain't so.
The cult will do anything in its power to get what it desperately needs. Somebody roll me a D8.
D8.
They need to get a cocked eye, a 5.
For some reason, they want baked goods.
What?
What?
The cult wants baked goods?
They could smell.
And Old Smokey betrayed the cult or betrayed us to the cult?
Old Smokey has betrayed the characters.
Ah, okay. He betrayed
cult
us.
Desperately needs baked goods.
He must have told him about your bakery.
I refuse to give my prize baked goods to the cultists. Right,
somebody roll me a D6.
Yeah, God. 1.
What is the cult's true purpose?
Baked goods.
Ooh. They wish to concoct a great and terrible summoning and bring into the world an ancient spirit of chaos.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
At least one of their number has discovered the ritual to do so, but needs the involvement of the entire cult, as well as some disturbing ingredients like a human sacrifice.
Oh my God, this is starting to border on blood libel. They're after baked goods and are trying to summon something with blood.
I have a magic drum and I love killing people.
It definitely sounds like Sweeney Todd.
I must note that my favorite item on this particular list is number 6.
Mm.
Sometimes people just get bored and start worshiping dark gods.
That makes sense.
That would be
that sort
French
of horseplay
village.
Always leads to grief.
That's hilarious.
That'd definitely be a French village.
That's like that summer in what was it? Like 1996.
I too have seen Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Somebody roll me a D6.
Someday I got to tell you about the history of the French witch hunts.
5? Was that a 5?
That's a 5.
Who was the leader of the cult? A demon incarnate who has gained physical entry into the world. All shall tremble before its terrible power.
I knew we shouldn't have left Old Smokey in charge of that mine.
So he's Biscotti.
It's a really tired 3-year-old.
No, he's Biscotti.
Biscotti.
So?
Beam me up, Biscotti.
There's more random tables, and we're going to go ahead and do them right now. These are for events during the game. Near the beginning of the session, while the characters are starting their investigation, what kicks things into high gear? Bring this result in after 15 to 30 minutes of play if you're doing a one-shot.
What am I going to roll?
You might want to ignore this table if the game gets off to a fast roll on its own, but you can still use the result to inform your thinking while you are figuring out what is really going on with the cult. D6?
No, D6.
What a neat setup. I totally dig this this way of starting a game.
2.
We both rolled 2.
All right.
Great. 22.
What pushes the characters to action? A relative or friend of the characters is kidnapped by the wicked cultists.
The hangman's beautiful daughter.
All right. No. No, a relative or friend of the cult.
It's a puppet master.
I'm thinking.
Can't be me. I don't have any relatives anymore.
No,
I'm thinking it's nice to have.
Probably either the brewmaster, or I think it would be great if it was Koldar the Squeaky.
Yes, our bootlegger.
The other option would be the grandmother weaver, because at this point I would like fuck some shit up.
Oh yeah,
the puppet master got stolen. Our fizzle's gonna freak the fuck out.
Oh my God, Shannery O'Collins.
Can you imagine kidnapping a puppet master and then having to like hold that puppet master hostage and have them essentially constantly be puppeting at you?
Oh yeah.
He's really good at throwing his voice and ventriloquism, and he's just like fucking with people all the time.
That would I can be only the best think of an ever. Episode of Gravity Falls with that guy who never took the puppets off his hands.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
Anyway, the next one is what might lead the characters off the track? Roll me a D6. 6. An old stranger wearing robes with mysterious marks stays the night in the inn. He might be a wandering wizard, a foreign king's envoy, or a priest from far away, but otherwise has no relation to the story at hand.
Really, the world would have been a much better place if someone had killed Gandalf in the Second Age.
No.
Whoa.
Hot take.
Going further.
Hot
the dungeon. The dungeon is a staple of fantasy gaming. Of course, doesn't have to be a literal dungeon, and in fact, usually shouldn't be. But have the adventure culminate with the characters infiltrating a secret place important to the cult, such as their base of operations or a hidden temple. So somebody roll me a D8 to determine what guards the dungeon.
Those bears.
Oh, sorry, I took your D8.
Those bears.
The bears.
The bears.
Two bears.
The entrance to the dungeon is sealed by the cult's magic. Perhaps the door is covered in warding.
Shit.
We don't have any way to get through that.
Or it must contain a riddle. Or it might contain a riddle that must be answered before entering. The party may be able to research for clues if they need help. Or they may just have to find another more hidden entrance to the dungeon.
Okay.
I have estate management. And if the dungeon looks at all like an estate, I can figure that out.
Pretty sure that the dungeon is covered over by a piece of thin puff pastry, and I have just the skills to tackle it.
Obviously, your panic room hatch would be over in this location. This was the main location to your dungeon estate.
Dungeon estates.
The next dungeon what estates. What challenge awaits inside the dungeon itself? Roll a d6. Poppy?
Oh, God.
I got it.
Oh, fuck.
Nope.
4.
All right, Xander's got a 4. Disembodied spirits defend the dungeon. Appropriate choices would be a group of confused spirits troubled by the cult.
Is that
or
because
a minor demon?
Is this because this was all done by the bootlegger? Hence the disembodied spirits.
Yeah.
Alcohol elementals, the worst kind of elementals.
So much fermentation going on. We've got like bread and like alcohol.
Definitely the funkiest elemental.
We just gotta distill the entire situation.
Ooh. All right. So then, finally,
like it was yesterday.
Whoa!
Oh, it was all worth it.
Oh!
Oh, I hate you all so much right now.
Do you want to mash on us into oblivion?
Whoa. NPC, why are you upset? We rose to the occasion.
Oh, no. You guys are just reaching.
Now all you got to do is punch us back down.
Hey, that's right.
Well, I won't drink to that.
Are you saying you want proof?
I got nothing else.
You know, we can keep bricking it all night long.
Oh, jeez.
We'll hop to it if you need us to.
Hop? Oh, hop.
We've barely got started here.
Okay. Don't make me kick your heads in. All right. So what's the final challenge of the dungeon? 1d6.
Me.
Poppy is the final challenge of the dungeon.
Yay!
The cult's champion, probably a warrior of level 2 or 3, stands between the characters and their goals.
Between our characters and the ghosts?
The goals.
Wait,
goals.
If I was the final challenge in the garden, in the dungeon, like all that was the guardian or whatever, all you should do to defeat me would be like, bring me some food and a kitten.
I promote just, you.
And tell me I'm pretty.
Just want like, some baked goods, y'all. Yeah, that's
right. Like you brought me a donut and a kitten. Oh,
that's the cultist's real weaknesses. Yeah. Is cookies,
cookies and kittens.
I have some Tim Tams upstairs.
So there's a couple more here. The road goes on. If you're playing this campaign forever as a one shot, success in stopping the cult will probably be satisfying enough. However, if you plan to continue with these characters and further adventures, it might be nice to give them a reward to help them in future endeavors. So first, what do the characters find in the lair? D6.
2.
Ooh, the cult keeps an enormous precious gem in its latter inner sanctum.
It's like a 24-hour fitness?
No, like Jim Varney. The gem is worth a fabulous amount of money, perhaps 200 gold pieces.
Drum-ish. That's a lot of pieces.
But there is no one in the village who can even begin to afford it. It would have to be sold in a large city somewhere.
So what you're saying is we could use this and just buy the town.
If the town is willing to sell itself for a single gem.
I mean,
You know what I mean, Vern?
We might have to use that gem to pay for the building of the Colosseum at the other side of town.
Wait, it wasn't paid for?
I'm pretty sure that upkeep is expensive.
Fucking idea was this.
You guys, we all voted on the art tax. It's done.
Too soon. Next, what hint do the characters find? Roll me a d6.
5.
A powerful embodied demon is now running rampant. It is probably a lesser demon as described in the bestiary. Mm. And only the characters can track it down and stop its mad rampage.
We must find this demon and put it to yeast.
So let me get this straight. There's a cult in the town, and the cult's got a champion, and they're somewhere. But then once we defeat the cult, then we discover that actually the cult isn't the real problem. It's the demon that's the real problem.
Yeah.
Gotcha. The cult probably embraces the demon pretty thoroughly, you know, before
we
show up.
I'm pretty sure it's the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, I've never worked with marshmallow. That's something I don't have much experience with. I think you need, machinery to make that.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
Well, what do you think of this so far?
It's very neat.
Yeah. What do you think of the characters?
I love them. Yeah. I love them all.
I finally named my character.
Oh, yeah.
Justin McLaughlin, but you can call him Rumblebelly.
How do we have the same last name?
Oh, are you McLaughlin?
Yeah.
Oh, God
damn. Sorry,
No.
I was McLaughlin.
Keep it.
McLaughlin.
Who was the adopted, like, foster brother or something? Or was that you two?
That's me and Jacob.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
I was adopted by halflings.
Drivel McLaughlin.
Oh, I thought your family adopted me.
No.
Laugh in.
But my family doesn't live here, so you were adopted by other halflings.
You took me in.
I took you in. That makes more sense. I'm a little older. See?
Yeah, that makes tons of sense.
I thought you were a watchman's son.
He died?
No.
He died watching.
Regarding that issue of my history, when you lost your family and were all alone, everyone else rallied around you and helped out. The friend to your right became your foster sibling.
Oh, yeah. I was busy writing down numbers when you said that.
Yeah, I was busy not paying attention.
Well, I paid attention, but it didn't occur to me that as a foster sibling that I would have to adopt you.
took me in. I was big. I was strong. I was kind of needy.
You're good at kneading dough.
I'm good at kneading dough.
Hey! Because that's definitely been an issue for me. I have to say, it's hard for me to roll that stuff out.
You know, I am
so needy.
I am of average intelligence, but I have a very high wisdom. Mm. So I learned fast and also could not be, you know, taken over when, you know, old matrons came in demanding their bread for a coin less.
Sure, that sounds solid.
I mean, the whole irony was you came into his house and said, I need dough, expecting some money, and you ended up just like pumping out pastries.
He's like, okay, get behind the counter.
I like the notion that a halfling vagabond is not really a vagabond. He's just a traveling baker.
Everybody's got some trade skills.
Yeah, I got lots of skills that just all have to do with baking.
What's this? Everybody has trade skills. I don't even have baking as a trade skill.
Roll that dough.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm a little uninspired by Ezekiel Bruce III. I think that, I mean, on paper, he sounds like kind of just like a trust fund kid. He's like not like a bad guy. Like he helped out, you know, he ran door to door.
Sure.
He took your advice.
I think his whole future is ahead of him, though. Like, ultimately, he's going to become a warlord.
But there's something that's, I gotta I gotta figure out something that makes him like really fucking weird.
I think what happened is you saw the word noble on your character sheet and immediately assumed prissy. Right. And you've been playing this whole time as this kind of dilettante style, but your character's not a dilettante.
So one thing I can say, and I've seen this in the one group in this game that I played before and read about two other groups where this happened, where one or two people always end up to seem to have like characters that are like, wow, we went through all of this effort to build a background and it just really isn't gelling for me.
Yeah.
And then by session two,
sure,
it starts to fill itself in. We even saw that a little bit with Christina Riot, who's been on the shows before, character. Yep. She was the Noble's wild daughter character. And while she did have some clear ideas about it, there was also a lot of space where she just was not exactly feeling where it was going
again,
and it was the interplay of the party of characters that ended up helping fill that backstory in.
She did the thing that a lot of people do with noble characters, is where they see noble and they look at it and they immediately think, Yeah, the dilettante Ponzi. Style. And then as soon as plays started happening and she started looking at the skills that she had and using them, she's like, oh, I'm a badass.
Yeah. Compared to the other noble in that party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he was all set up to be the Ponzi,
yes,
you know, uppity dude. Because all he was a trader of information. He was... He was a dilettante. That's what he was.
He was a straight up dilettante from a family of Viennese spy masters.
Like, my whole thing was like, not trusted. Like, my family is respected, but not trusted, and my skill is subterfuge.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I've got a wisdom of 18 and a charisma of 15. Like, he's not a dummy.
You're a politician.
I feel like Ezekiel is kind of bored with his current life.
Hmm.
You know,
that's why Ezekiel becomes a warlord.
Yeah,
and why, like, he wants to go on adventure.
Yeah, he's really like antsy and bored and is ready for, like, he's not a bad guy. He's just kind of boring and like two dimensional.
What's his perspective on this cult? I mean, presumably he knows about the cult. He's known about it for a while.
So can I throw out a possible idea for you?
Sure.
So it sounds like Ezekiel has done a great job up till now, living up to the expectations of his or her parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And they has very diligently followed the lessons, became good at estate management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And even when they kind of broke the rules, they still broke the rules within the rules, because it's the duty to warn everyone when the raiders are coming and that sort of thing. But suddenly adventure is going to be thrown in front of Ezekiel, where perhaps Ezekiel will have to ignore the rules and make their own way. And that would be something like, if we were going to play this game, I would specifically point out to the GM that this is a hook we need to build in there. The call to adventure that Ezekiel cannot ignore.
Sounds about right.
I like that. I like that a lot. Hmm?
Yeah, I mean, I would suspect that probably your character is a primary motivator in terms of all of our adventuring.
You're probably a leader of the group.
Especially with that high wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, and also, too, there was that one time where I caught some spies and then you're the one who took initiative to kind of like, you know, do the roguish thing and go and warn everybody. Like, that was true. Like your initial taste of adventure.
Right. Breaking the rules, but within the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. These spies are here. I can just go and be like, well, it's not my business. Or I can go and go all Paul Revere on their ass and let them know that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And
well, I feel like if I'm a teenager and I have a wisdom of 18, like, this kid has seen some shit. You know what I mean? Like, you're not.
No, you're gifted and talented education. It's fine.
No, I don't think that's not wisdom, though.
Just really good instincts.
No, parents, it can be. Because I was bad at math and I always got really high test scores because I was wise enough to figure out the fucking answer because it was multiple choice.
You had weird noble parents that actually trained you in critical thinking skills.
Oh.
It was like, we are going to give you a classical education, none of this British rote crap.
Well, if my main trait is base betrayal, they've taught me how to be a social engineer.
Well, I'm going to also say that if your main skill is base betrayal, oh my God, did this game get Scottish fast.
Well, my last name is Bruce.
It's a nice day for a red wedding.
Oh, it's a nice day for a...
And cut.
What do you think of this group?
You know, I'd like to imagine that in our early days, that those of you who had parents allowed...
Am I the only one with parents?
Like, who had some kind of guardian, allowed you to wander around town, you know, as a bunch of teens, because you were with the halfling baker who was, you know, apparently a reasonable good guy who brought along lunch.
Halflings are harmless.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I
kept you guys out of trouble until I didn't.
Buds with the cook at my estate. Like, maybe y'all were, maybe like the baker and the cook were friends.
Sure.
Maybe that's how that whole thing worked.
Maybe I delivered baked goods to your estate.
So, here's a question, and I'm asking this specifically because of NPCs and I's experience with this game before. Who here at the table, and you don't have to say what it is, has another story element that's built itself in your head based on what's happened with the roles and stuff that literally has not come up out of the roles directly. Something else that just is kind of floating out there as, oh, this is an interesting facet of this character that is not defined by the roles, but is definitely implied.
Hmm. Well, I mean, one thing that I can say is that my character's got some kind of an underhanded side. He's not just a baker and a friendly guy. I mean, I do have deceit and gossip and stealth on my list, and I added appraiser. There's some additional level of complexity. Are you sure
you're not like a baker slash...
I think I might be running stolen goods.
Stolen baked goods.
I think when I saw that gem and everyone was like, who would we sell that to? I'm like, I know exactly who I'd fucking sell that thing to.
Oh, you know the bootlegger too, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe I might. I mean, the fact that this road is so great, it just seems
like a great road.
It's a great road.
It really is.
Well, I think what would happen
make
is
this road great again.
Be great.
It already is great. It never stopped being great. It will continue to.
You would bring that to the bootlegger, and the bootlegger would not be able to hawk it for you, but the bootlegger would have a contact.
Sure.
And say, if you ride off to this town, someone there will be able to take care of it for you. And thus the next adventure begins.
Just keep bringing me those rum balls I like so much.
I mean, I also feel like I ended up getting to this town because I was with a traveling merchant. And that's how I ended up here. And I was like, oh, you know, I should. So I have some contacts in that circle, I'm sure.
This town lacks a bakery.
Yeah. Or it had a bakery and it was unoccupied.
Right. Somebody had to sell concessions at the Coliseum while the toddlers are beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Is that what we've
I love that quote. That's great. Something that this game does is it also gives you the opportunity to, if you want to do it kind of sandbox style, mm-hmm. where there is no grand adventure, it's just more what are you going to do next and it's up to you. You can either use the town as a base of operations and like range out and come back and kind of build things up, or leave it entirely and go on a grand adventure through the realms. Mm-hmm. But I do like the idea of your group having to come back so you can check on the state of your bakery.
I can't leave my bakery.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the sourdough start needs tending.
Or what if something happens and there becomes like a revolution and suddenly your town becomes the center of it and your family is wiped out?
I have to protect suddenly, my people at all costs.
You become the warlord who uses this as the base of operations.
Yes.
And this could become a militarized town. Ooh. And now you all have positions of power within the new regime.
All was good until the rising of the anti-gluten vegans.
You mean the rising of the dough?
It's overworked.
It's raw. It's raw.
We're attacked by Paul Hollywood.
No soggy bottoms.
Don't eat that, Mary. You'll get a stomachache.
Oh, ooh, I like the idea that my bakery is called Soggy Bottoms Bacon.
Yes.
Instead of Marion Barry, it's Mary Barry. Oh, how lovely.
And on that note.
You're disappointed, and so are we.
Well, this has been pretty rad. Beyond the Wall is, I have a lot of experience with this game. It's one of my favorites for its pick up and play ability. Uh-huh. I can, if I'm going out to a weekend at the beach or something with a bunch of people that I know are gamers, or if I'm going on vacation, or if I'm going to a party, and there's like various things that are happening, I know that I can print out the basic templates from the book and just have a game ready to go that I don't even need to pre-plan because... As you've seen,
it writes itself.
Yeah. We have a village. We have things happening in this village. We have a weird ass puppetry center for some fucking reason. It creates
a Coliseum,
story.
For fuck's sake.
And it is just never the toddlers. Same twice. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And giving a flashback, Jacob has talked a lot about our previous game with Mike and Christina, who were on one of the early episodes of our show when we talked about a variety of things, including bicycle clubs.
Yep.
Christina and Mike were both in that game, and we made it, we gave it something of a post sci-fi feel. Like they were a fantasy settlement living off the fallen, the dying technology of a fallen galactic empire kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly fantasy, yeah. But kind of Gene Wolfish fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. If you've
ever Thundar the Barbarian,
stuff. Not quite to that.
Not super science. Level. Not yeah. Not like post-apocalyptic, but okay. Like you know, we have fallen way down.
More like Phantasy Star, if anybody right. Has played those yes. Games. But or Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger is a fantastic example.
Good call. Yeah. Good call.
But the. What I loved about, so Jacob, your character was an acolyte. You were an acolyte and you had a god, but the god was this insane artificial intelligence and a crashed ship that the world had grown up around
mm-hmm.
from the old days. Just, you know, the earth had, it was so long ago and that ship was still there and it had this eternal power source and he had fallen in the pit and it brought him to life and he began to worship the AI. Whereas Christina and Mike were both nobles, one of which was like an information broker, and the other was like, we are the nobles who command the watch. We are honorable. And mm-hmm. then it was just a really cool
yeah.
Setup.
I feel like this group is much more domestic.
Yeah, yeah. This game is much more domestic. I will say I'm very happy that the second game I ever played with you was that one, because given the character I was playing in the first game,
the Rifts game,
where
yeah, this has a very different feel from Rifts.
Well, the problem was in the Rifts game, my first character was a totally immoral, borderline psychopathic brain waster.
Yeah. When the very first time I ran this game, like legit, like sat down and ran it as a multi-session game. When we did the whole character arc stuff, it was wonderful. The story that the group created, we decided that we were going to create a side story in the past, the far past of a campaign that we were already running for D&D. So we took the side story in the fabled past. And I remember one of my favorite things that they did is when they were creating the village, one of them put next to the inn, the tree stump. And people are like, what does that mean? They're like, that's where government happens.
Is oh, the stump. Sure.
So then they were like, okay, well, we got a lot of lumberjacks in the area. So they came up with this system where if anybody wanted to bring a grievance to the town, they took their axe to the stump and chucked it in.
I love it.
And when you put your axe in the stump, that means you have an axe to grind.
Right, sure.
Or does that mean that's the place to give your stump speech?
Hey, exactly.
Yeah, my college campus literally had a stump in the middle of like the plaza in front of the student union or whatever in the free speech zone.
Mm.
And there was literally a stump that people could stand on.
But did they throw an axe into that stump?
As far as I know, no.
Yeah. Wow. That's because you didn't have a society of creative anachronism presence on that college.
Story behind,
in town we did.
We used the hidden cult story, but we made it a lot more subtle. And one of the things that happened was like an axe was found in the stump and that axe was placed in the stump through another person.
Oh,
and suddenly there was this murder mystery because it was that person's axe had killed them. And everybody's like, who did this? And it was a wonderful.
How many times did somebody say, OK, let me ask you a question?
Oh, geez.
No one did because we took it seriously.
Nobody
that can happen sometimes, you know.
Oh, strange. Is that yeah. Because you couldn't handle it?
Oh,
we didn't it just I don't know, that just wouldn't have had enough haft of impact.
Oh,
and humor like that can drive a wedge in the party.
Oh,
on that note, you've been listening to Biker's Dice and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. This was Beyond the Wall and Other Adventures, an OSR D&D inspired role-playing game. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
This is Tinsel, but with an L.
Just Jacob.
Poppy Beaujolais.
Get drunk, play games, have fun. Thanks for listening.
Let's go beyond the wall.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Biker's Dice and Bars.